After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up on the mountain. There he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover feast of the Jews was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming toward him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did and said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 6. Our text is taken from that chapter, and not the passage we read, but if you turn to the end of it, you'll find that our text taken from verses 66 to verses then 69. Over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at a hymn of John Newton. You know, John Newton, who wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace. He wrote another hymn, many hymns actually, but another favourite. And that was How Precious Jesus Is, the name which is above all other names. And in one of his hymns, he wrote this particular verse: "Jesus, my shepherd, brother, friend." We've looked at that, that we could say in our lives that Jesus is our shepherd. He's the one who is leading and guiding us in those paths of righteousness. And if you know Jesus Christ today, you can actually know him as your brother. You could know that you have someone in high places who you are related to in the highest place of all. And you can also say today this too, that Jesus is your friend. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Everything about Christianity deals with the fact of Jesus Christ and our relationship to him and with him. And this day, what we want to look at is another 3, really, of what that hymn says. Not only is he our shepherd, our brother, our friend, but he is our prophet, our priest, and our king. He is our life, he's our Lord, he's our way, and he's our end. But you know the saying, don't you? Christians don't say lies, Christians sing them. And if I were to ask you today, do you know of Jesus as your prophet? I mean, now, is that the God of this Bible, the God who has spoken, he has spoken to us as we've sung even now, the Word of God incarnate. We have known that he has come to us and spoken to us, See this book which we have? It's a book which is filled with prophets. Prophets which spoke of one which was to come. There was even Moses himself. He was perhaps the greatest of them all. And it was said of Moses that when he died, he said, another will come to you, which will be, and he will speak to God face to face. And everything that you want to know about God, that prophet is coming into the world. And in that reading that we had, if you remember the feeding of the 5,000, that when they had seen the signs that Jesus did, they said, truly, the prophet is come into the world. The book which prophesies of the one prophet which was to come, the word of God incarnate, the one who was the word would become flesh amongst us. These came and they recognized him as the prophet. And when you read John chapter 6, you then find how these people began to follow him. Not because of the words that he said, but because of the bread which he gave. And then when you come to the end of the chapter, when the crowds have been following him, you come to this very place. Just because they knew him as the prophet, they did not stay with him. And you find it there in verse 66. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And then Jesus asks them this question, do you want to go away also? And then Simon Peter answers with these words, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we've come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that very thought this morning for us, that if you say that you know of Jesus as your prophet, I want to ask you now, even now, you may know him as such, but there are many who leave him as such. And that question that the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, asked that very day, he asks to each and every one of us, do you also want to go away? And it's a very relevant question, because we're living in a nation which is turning its back upon God. And don't think for a moment that it's a nation which hasn't been in a place of worship. There's very few people, even today, when I talk to them and deal with them, that at some time they've known something in their background of the Christian faith and know something of that Christian culture. But they've come and they've turned to the ways and the things of the world. And what happens is this, is that people turn away from the Lord Jesus. People who have sat in these pews, people who have preached in this pulpit, and all of a sudden they come to a place, not that they've gone perhaps back into the world, but they've gone into some other religion, other spiritual belief, and all of a sudden they're taken away. And it happens more often today because of the internet which we have. There'll be those which will click in the internet, and someone will tell you of their spiritual experience of having nearly died, tell us what happened when they went to heaven, or whether they've been to hell, and tell us what's beyond. And then others will come and click in to something which is kind of supernatural. Or perhaps it may not be that for you, but it may be like this. Someone telling us how to live, what to eat, how to breathe, the magic vitamin we need. And people will come and they'll say, there it is, I found this and I've been listening to it. If you only ate spinach in the morning, it would transform your life. You'd be stronger than Popeye. And what happens now is this, is that people then follow it. And all of a sudden, that little remedy, that little vitamin, it works for me. It works for me. And then all of a sudden, you see, they've got a new way of living. They don't need Jesus, but they have now how to live their life healthily in that sense. You'd be surprised this day how many who claim to be Christians, even today, they'd have this book in their hand, but they'll have another book in their hand, what the prophet has said. And you say, what prophet is that? Or some prophet from India, and some prophecy given from Peru. And even now it happens, it has happened. I've known of those who have claimed to be Christians at one time, and now they've become part of the Islamic faith. And there's one, Muhammad, who says, I am a prophet. And we live, do we not, in those very days. And even in the life of the church, in the life of the church, with all its ecumenicalism, all its joining with other religions, all its meetings of other faiths. Do you know what you're saying as a church? There's another word that God has given. There's a word of another faith. There's a word from another source. There's another word that we need. And here it is. They said, is this not the prophet, the one prophet, who will reveal those things of God to us? And so it is, as then the prophet began to speak, I mean the Lord Jesus Christ reveals to them certain things, many of them turn back. Don't be surprised. It happened even when Jesus was in the flesh. And I need to show you just for a moment that it was definitely, they knew something, that he was a prophet. I want you to understand this, what that means. You may have known Jesus as a prophet in this sense, that you've come to this place and he has spoken to you. He has spoken to you. He has spoken into your heart. He has revealed things to you. He has a word for you. You know that he's speaking, and it could only be him. I'll just give you this example. It's found in John chapter 4. And what happens, you know, of the woman at the well. And what happens at the woman at the well, she comes, she's on her own, and Jesus asks her a number of things for water. They have a little discussion. He then says, get your husband. And she has no husband. Yes, she answers rightly. She's had five husbands. Verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And then in verse 29, as she goes to the city, says, come, see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And what happens is that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world and he has been speaking. He's the Word of God incarnate. He's the one who reveals God to us. And you have known him speaking to you. Of all things, of everything that you need to know, concerning God, concerning your life, concerning himself, concerning the way of salvation, that Jesus Christ came into this world and he spoke those things and revealed them, those things they could never have known, that the God of this world is the Heavenly Father, and that there is one now who has come to give us, as he tells us, a way of salvation through the precious blood of himself. And he tells us things you could never have imagined and never have thought of, that in the horrors and the death of Calvary and Gethsemane, that you would have come to a place that will be the means by which blood will be shed and you will be forgiven. And he came and he told them and spoke to them of how it was they could have pardon with God and how they could find eternal life with him. And he came and he showed them of their great need and of their sin. And he spoke to their very hearts. And he spoke to them words that they could never have ever felt. Grace was on his lips. He spoke not like the Pharisees and the scribes. He was one who had words which was able to lift up and touch human hearts and the burdens they carried. He had a word for them and he dealt with them. And he came, and so it was, as these people, they knew that, they listened to him, And they knew there was power. It was something else. It was from heaven. He told them, revealed things. They felt it. They understood things. Light was upon them. But he is the prophet. But when he speaks to them about his body being broken and about his flesh need to be eaten and his blood to be shed, it wasn't a word that they wanted. And they began to turn away. And I'm going to ask you that question again, because there are many things in life that many reasons that people turn away from the Lord Jesus Christ. A little disappointment, a little bit of hurt, something we don't like, a teaching that they didn't have. Now, if you want to believe in free will, it's all here for you. Right there on the page, he says, do you want to go away also? Because there are many who have known him and known that he has spoken to them and spoken into their hearts, and yet they have gone away from that truth. That's just simply the first point. But then secondly, I want to show you of what it is that these do know. There are those which do know that Jesus is, as we read here in verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we've come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of God. Now listen to this. Now, there's an answer that Peter gives. As the crowds go away, Peter comes to say, well, hang on, you've asked us the question, and he answers it in two ways. He answers it in this way. Firstly, a negative, and then a positive. And it's really interesting that if you were to know Jesus as the Christ and as the Son of God, there is something that you've come to know first of all. And this is what Peter says on behalf now of the remaining disciples with him. He says, there it is. Where shall we go? That's the first thing. He's come to know that there's nowhere else that he could go. And you're going to answer that question this morning. If you want to know who Jesus Christ is, and you can say, he's my prophet, my priest, my king, then one of the first answers is this. You know it because there is nowhere else to go. Have you come to that place? When a person like these disciples were, they had come to Jesus Christ, and as they came to him, they found things in him which you would never find anywhere else. They find, as we know, those words of life, they find a purity and a love and a light that no one else had ever shone upon them. They had come to experience those things that they cannot be found in the world. And that's one of the first things that dawns upon someone when they first then become a Christian. Is that you realize then of the life that you've lived and the things that you've dealt with, that these things don't satisfy. The hymn writer puts it like this. O Christ, in thee my soul hath found, and found in thee alone, the peace, the joy I sought so long, the bliss till now unknown. Now there's none but Christ can satisfy, none other name for me. There's light, there's love, there's lasting joy, Christ Jesus found in thee. And then it comes, if you've ever come to know something of Jesus Christ, they would have touched you in such a deep way that you know that you'll never experience in any other place and from any other one. And Peter knew that. Jesus says to them, do you want to go away also, Peter? And Peter says, where? I'm a Jew. I know the teachings of the Pharisees. I've been brought up in it. I know what they tell us, the burden of the law, the things I've got to do, the way I've got to live, how I've got to be, all the rituals I've got to perform. Where else could I go? There's something, you see, that they came to know, which religion will never satisfy you and can never fulfill your needs. And you may think that you can find something else. And that religion, the religion of the Jews, as good as it was, won't save you. You have to come to Jesus Christ. And they have to come and to believe in him. And then it comes, does they not? Don't think that these people were not uneducated or didn't have experiences. Peter was from the Galilee of the Gentiles, the nations that come in. And you know there are those people who come, if you come to understand this, and you think of the great learning of the Greeks, you know the famous statement, what is that learning of the Greeks in education? The wisest man who ever lived, so they said, was Socrates. And why was he wise? Because he admitted that he did not know. Because he was ignorant. And because of that statement, these people knew of that. In chapter 12, the Greeks come to him, want them to learn from Jesus. They want him to teach them. And you come and you find in life, you think there is no answer to the questions that you've got in this world. You won't find it in the greatest universities where people sit and the biggest brains ever. They haven't got the answers to your needs and your life. Then he lived under the great power of the Roman Empire. He saw it with all its pomp, with all its power and all its glory. But it never fills the human heart, nor that it has. And you think of Peter, he says, where shall we go? He was a businessman. He was a fisherman. He was a family man. He was a man who knew what it was to work with other men on the boats. He knew what it was to have something of meaning in his life and existence and paying others. And he had a house and he was wealthy and he had some servants and he knew of that. He did know that. And he had followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything else that you're living for in your life, which you think will fill you and whatever it may be, your home, the pleasures, the little things. Do you want to go away? Peter says, where can we go? And that's the first realization that you come to know that there is no one else. And he is my prophet, my priest, and my king. There's no one else who has the answer. And then you find it here, because you have the words of eternal life. That's why I'm not going to another and to listen to them. Now, it's very interesting because the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to us like no other. His words are words of eternal life. In verse 63, you'll find this. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Jesus speaking. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Please listen this morning. There are words you're going to listen to now, which are words of real life, life abundant, spiritual life, resurrection life, a greater life, more abundant life. There are words Jesus came and no one spoke like him. You can click into your internet, and don't get me wrong, if you did take perhaps some kind of, well, whatever it may be, you know, you may feel better for a day or two. It may help you here and there. But we've got now news of eternal life, not just for this life. And when Jesus spoke, do you realize everything that he spoke about brings us to eternal life? He spoke about friendship. He did. We're going to look at it in Luke chapter 16 on Tuesday. Friendship which will lead to eternal life. He spoke about your money, which you've got within your purse, and what you do with it. And when he spoke about it, he said there's something about that money which you need to do, which has an effect of eternal life. He spoke, you know, about the needs which people have and he tells you about being well, but you need to be well in your soul. He talked to people about their business and their ambitions, and he said, you can have the whole world, but what will it profit you if you lose your soul? He spoke of life which will be lived and everlasting. He spoke about a man which had barns, and then that night he was taken. He speaks to you of another life, a greater one, which will always be. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in this world, he has a message for you. And as someone, I think, put on the internet this day, only he has the message. There are 4,200 religions in the world, but only one empty grave. Remember that. Only Jesus Christ has the answer of life. And there is something within you which wants to live. We've got a funeral again tomorrow, which is here. I don't know the person, and the big interest was golf. And I know what will be said before even takes place. Someone is bound to say, and they're on the big golf course in the sky, and you say, what's that? Oh, it's the very instinct in every human being that there is life, which is then forever. You know there's life. The moral justice of the universe demands it, that people like Hitler and Putin, what takes place in this world, one day they must be called to account. You know there's life because the historical fact of Jesus Christ proves it. And Jesus came and he spoke about life. You see, sin has come into this world, and sin brought death, and we lived in sin and we're part of sin. But Jesus Christ is the source of life. And you come to him. He's the one who's the life of every man. And you come to him and you will know what it is to live. And he will give you that which is abundantly. Jesus Christ is the revealer of life itself. He's the one who shows us the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you come to him. Can you imagine? They sat under all this teaching. And when they heard his words, their hearts were being healed. When they listened to his words, their lives were being built up. When they listened to him, grace was being poured into them. And it wasn't words of death, it was life that they felt and they knew. And so Peter says, where shall we go? You're the one. You've got the words. You've got it. You're the revealer, and you're the giver of life. Now I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Do you know Jesus as your prophet? I mean, now, that is the one in whom you listen to, you follow, you've come to know, because this is what then he says, I'm going to show you, and we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And what Peter says is something that's happened in their experience that happens in the experience of every true Christian. They are totally convinced and have a conviction. There is nothing out there that will speak to them. But they have a conviction that he has the words and he is the Christ. I'll just ask you that question because there'll be those of you may have been brought up in chapel and church, and you've always followed, always believed in one sense, but you're not sure. Look at what he says. We have come to believe and know that you are the Christ. And it's not just what others know and what others taught you, but you came to know yourself and become convinced of it. that Jesus Christ is the one. I mean, there is that where a person is persuaded and has an assurance in the things of Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. I've come to that conviction and understanding in my being, in my head, of all the claims he made and what he's done and achieved on Calvary and the promise that I've given my soul to him, and he is able for that, and I've committed to him for that day. I believe. And you've got to ask that question again. For I have come to know and believe. And that you've come to that very place. What it means to believe is not only just to believe about, but you've come now to trust in. He is the life. And you know it. And you don't even have to mess about with anything else that people are speaking. He has those words which are for you. To know him as my prophet, that's the only word I need. Do you know, and we all need someone, and we all need to know him in such the Christ, the Son of God. I don't know, in the history of this town, if you go towards the swimming pool in that area at one time, those who know, was the grammar school, the old grammar school for Narberth. And I remember buying a little book many years ago, found it in a second-hand bookshop, and next to the swimming pool is the little estate. And the name of the little estate is called John Morgan Close. And the reason why it's called John Morgan Close was this, because the first headmaster was called John Morgan. And he lived opposite then. I think it's South Mead that he lived in. And what happened was, such was this man and the influence that he had upon the boys of this town in the grammar education that he gave, that one of them wrote his account and his story of his person and his character and how he taught them and how his pupils loved him because he taught them and showed them. Now, you may have had an experience in your school. You may not have liked it, but there would be one teacher that you did like. And because you liked that teacher, you went to that class. You may not have liked the subject, but that was the teacher that you came to, and you came to adore. Now, these people are coming to this place, and what they're saying, we've come to believe. Not only have we come to know in our heads, we've come in our hearts. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We've come to know you and to love you and to have that spiritual understanding, that conviction. And you've come and you say, that's the one, that's the one. And in your life, what takes place is this. When you become a Christian, you know that there's no one else that you're going to listen to but Jesus Christ and him alone.